Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be discussing a very, very hot topic. The question is, does the size of our faith influence God's willingness to heal us? Very, very hot topic, isn't it? Well, there are many, many people in Christendom who feel that if you have enough faith and if you are praying and praying and trusting and trusting and believing that God will heal you based upon the size of your faith, he will in fact heal you. What do you think, listening audience? Does the size of our faith have anything to do with God's ability or willingness to heal? Now, the presupposition obviously is that we believe that God does in fact heal people, right? We know that just in the scriptures, we see throughout the scriptures, God in his grace healing all kinds of people. We know that today the greatest healing God is doing is the healing of people's souls, taking them from spiritual death to spiritual life by his divine grace, taking people from being outside of God's family through Jesus Christ being in God's family forever. So yes, we believe that God does in fact heal. The same God who provided healings in the Bible during the Bible times is the same God who heals today. He heals people primarily nowadays in the spiritual realm, taking people from eternal death to eternal life by God's grace. God also heals people in the physical realm. Absolutely he does. So we want to make sure that we're all in agreement that God still does heal people. The question is, why does God heal people? Or better yet, is there some sort of influence, i.e. the size of our faith, that causes God to show compassion, mercy, and then to step up and heal somebody? Now, for those who say that the size of our faith really can move God to heal us, very often what they use is the situation in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 20 and Isaiah 38. Same story, told in two different sections. It's the story of King Hezekiah and his miraculous, miraculous healing. And let me just read a little bit and just kind of set the context for you. In those days, Hezekiah was a great godly king, a man who walked yashad, right, upright in God's sight, a man who lived to please the Lord. Hezekiah was an incredible king. He was the 13th king in Judah, the southern part of Israel. And of the 40 total kings, 20 in the north, 20 in the south, Hezekiah, without question, is considered one of the best kings of all time. This was a man who lived for the Lord. This was a man who led for the Lord. This was a man who was yashad, right and pleasing in God's sight. Well, in spite of that, we read in 2 Kings 20 verse 1, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and he was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order. Why? Because you're going to die and you will not recover. That's a big problem right there. Life is going well for Hezekiah. I mean, he brought about an incredible spiritual revival in the southern kingdom of Judah. In fact, he even included some of the remnant who were still left in the northern kingdom, who had, you know, who hadn't been taken into the exile by the Assyrians. I mean, Hezekiah just, he was doing incredible stuff. A man who had the right motives, the right priorities. And then when things were going so well, God sends the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah and says, hey, put your house in order. You're going to die. And can you imagine how Hezekiah felt when he got that news? Well, you don't have to imagine, because in verses 2 and 3, we see Hezekiah's prayer after he received news of this problem. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good, yeshad, in your eyes. And then Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now, listening audience, what do you notice missing from that prayer? Hezekiah never specifically asked God to heal him. All he did was say, God, remember how I've walked right in your sight. Now, was Hezekiah trying to bargain with God? Was he trying to bribe God? Was he trying to make God feel guilty? I don't believe so. In fact, as you look at the similar prayer in Isaiah 38, same thing. We don't see Hezekiah specifically asking to be healed. He got the bad news, big problem. He turned to the wall and started praying, crying out to the Lord. And all he did was appeal to God based upon God's compassion, God's kindness, and God's faithfulness. And all Hezekiah said was, Lord, remember how I have walked wholeheartedly before you. And I believe Hezekiah's prayer here is one of the most incredible, God-centered, God-honoring prayers out there. Because again, he didn't ask, hey, God, come on, cut me a break. Can you let me live? Can you heal me, God? No. I believe Hezekiah's prayer was God-centered in the fact that Hezekiah, because he was yashad in God's sight, because he cared for the name of the Lord, because he cared to please the Lord, because he cared for the city of the Lord, Jerusalem, and the temple of the Lord, and the people of the Lord, I think Hezekiah wept as he thought about, well, he was going to die. He was still fairly young, and he was in his 30s or 40s. Problem is, he didn't have a successor at this point. His young son, who would eventually become his successor in 686 BC, was a guy by the name of Manasseh. Well, when Hezekiah got sick, this was 704 BC. And Manasseh at this point was probably only around 3 years old. Therefore, I believe that Hezekiah appealed to God's goodness, God's covenant, key word, faithfulness, because he knew that if he, Hezekiah, died at this early age without any trained or legitimate successor, it would leave God's city, Jerusalem, wide open to attacks from the Assyrians, which in fact would come 3 years later in 701 BC by the king of Assyria, by a guy by the name of Sennacherib. So I believe that Hezekiah's prayer here, because it doesn't even show us that he asked for healing, I think what God was showing us here is Hezekiah's incredible faithfulness and trust in God's covenant. And that's why he said, God, remember how I walked yashad in your sight. God, I, up to this point, have been living to please you, yashad. God, my prayer, my weeping right now, Lord, is centered on you, because I don't want to see your city destroyed. I don't want to see your temple, which, God, we restored worship there. I don't want to see it destroyed. I don't want to see the pagan Assyrians coming in and making a mockery of your name. And why do I say that? Let's keep reading. After Hezekiah's prayer, we see God's promise. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, verse 4, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, King David, this is what he says. This is what God says. I have heard your prayer. So yes, we see God hears our prayers, right, Christian? God said, I've seen your tears. God knows your pain. He knows your name. He sees your tears. And then God made a promise to Hezekiah. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, healed. And then God said, I will add 15 years to your life. When? Well, we believe after God would deliver Jerusalem from the king of Assyria in 701 BC. 15 years from 701 BC would be 686 BC is when Hezekiah died. God said, I'll add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, who would be coming 3 years later against them. And then God gave us the reason why he seemingly changed his mind on his original decision for Hezekiah to be sick and die. God said, I will defend this city for my sake. Not for Hezekiah's sake, but for God's sake. And then God said, for the sake of my servant David. And this is why I believe God did not heal Hezekiah based on Hezekiah's prayer. God said, let me give you the reason why I am going to heal you, Hezekiah. Let you live. Doesn't have anything to do with you, Hezekiah. Has everything to do with me. For my name's sake, I'm going to protect this city. And you're right, Hezekiah. Right now, there is no legitimate successor to you. So you're going to live, Hezekiah. I'm going to defend this city. You're then going to train up your young boy, Manasseh. You're going to continue to lead Yashad so that my people will worship me. And Hezekiah, by the way, this decision to keep you on the throne, this decision to have a successor from the line of David on the throne, Hezekiah, this decision was made long before you got sick. This was God's divine decree before eternity passed. In fact, it was God's divine decree, a promise he had made to King David hundreds of years earlier, saying that through your house, David, there will come the Messiah, 2 Samuel 7:16, the one whose kingdom and throne would last forever. You see, God, for whatever reason, made a decree to Hezekiah saying, you're going to be sick and die. But then God said, no, I'm going to let you live. Why did this happen? More on that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where we are talking about this hot topic of does the size of our faith have anything to do with God's willingness or ability or desire to heal us? And what we've been studying on the first end of the program is the story of King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20, as well as Isaiah 38. And we're seeing how God had originally said to Hezekiah, look, put your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to recover from this illness, an illness that we don't really know what it was. We know that it caused some kind of boil, but we don't know really what the illness was or why it came. Now, we also saw that God in his grace, after hearing Hezekiah's prayer, which, by the way, his prayer did not specifically ask for healing. We see that God in his grace healed Hezekiah and gave him an additional 15 years to live. Why did God do this? Well, God told us. Kings chapter 20 in verse 6, God said, I'm going to do this for my sake and for the sake of my covenant I had made with the servant King David. And friends, this is an example. You need to understand this theologically. There's what's called God's divine intention. That which God desires, God wishes. In other words, God desires that nobody sin. God wishes that nobody would go to hell. That's God's divine intention. But there's a difference between God's divine intention and God's divine decree. God's divine intention is conditional. God in Deuteronomy 28 said, if you obey, you'll be blessed by me. If you don't obey, you're going to be punished by me. God's divine intention, and it was conditional based upon the reaction of the people, obedience or disobedience. On the other hand, God's divine decree is something that is unchangeable. It is unconditional. It is something that God has promised, foreordained before eternity passed. And again, God tells us the reason why he healed Hezekiah. It had nothing to do with Hezekiah's prayer. It had everything to do with God's divine decree. He said, for my name's sake, and from the covenant I made with my servant David. See, God had said to David, through your house, your family is going to come the Messiah, whose kingdom and throne will last forever. Had God allowed Hezekiah to die, before there was a legitimate successor to Hezekiah's throne, there would have not been somebody from the line of David who would have sat on the throne. Had God allowed Hezekiah to die and let the Assyrians come in and destroy Jerusalem before there was a legitimate successor on the throne, somebody from the house of David, guess what? The messianic promise would have been cut off. So we don't know why God had sent the prophet Isaiah to say to Hezekiah, hey, Hezekiah, put your house in order, you're going to die. I have some beliefs on that I believe that maybe Hezekiah was a little bit prideful and God wanted to get his attention to humble him. And again, as you look in Hezekiah's prayer in Isaiah 38, after Hezekiah was healed, we get a little bit of indication maybe that Hezekiah realized maybe he had been a little bit arrogant. In verse 15, he says, what can I say? God has spoken to me and he himself has done this. He's healed me. I will walk humbly all my years, all my years left to live. God gave me more years to live. Yeah, in fact, in verse 17, we see that Hezekiah says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered afflictions. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. Notice he didn't say, because of my prayer, you kept me from the pit of destruction. No, in your love, God, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. I think that Hezekiah maybe was struggling with a little bit of pride. And again, as you continue to read the rest of Hezekiah and his situation with Sennacherib and different things like that, you see there was a little bit of pride, even the way he kind of boasted and bragged to the dignitaries from Babylon. But that's a different story. So again, we don't actually know why God, what his divine intention was for saying to Hezekiah, you're going to die, and then God healing him. Again, God's divine intention is conditional and does change. So maybe it was to get Hezekiah's attention, to bring him back down to the ground, to bring him again to humble submission and prayer to the Lord. But we know God's divine decree never changes. And God said, the reason why I'm going to protect this city, the reason why you're going to live, Hezekiah, is for my name's sake and because of my covenant I made with David. And friends, that's why it's very important to always interpret scripture with scripture. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. You know, in Isaiah 38, we don't see God giving the reason as to why he healed Hezekiah. In Isaiah 38, God doesn't say it was for his name's sake or for the sake of his covenant he made with King David. But that doesn't mean you just say, aha, you see, Hezekiah was healed because of his great prayer and his great faith. No, you have to interpret scripture with scripture. You say, okay, where else is this story told in the Bible? Aha, 2 Kings 20. You go to 2 Kings 20. You start to read the story. 99.9% of it is the exact same in 2 Kings 20 as it was in Isaiah 38. But there's a little bit God adds in 2 Kings 20. In verse 6, where God says, here's the reason why I healed Hezekiah. For my name's sake and for the sake of my covenant with David. So we see it was God's divine decree that was unchangeable. And again, I believe that maybe God was trying to get Hezekiah's attention to bring him to a little bit of humility. And it's very interesting, after the news was given that Hezekiah would be healed, then Isaiah, in verse 7, said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and Hezekiah recovered. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah told Hezekiah to take some medicine. Prepare a poultice of figs. So, Christian, what does that mean? It is legal to take medicine. You're not denying faith in God because you decide to take medicine. God is sovereign. Yes, he is the divine healer. He doesn't need us to take medicine. God can heal us in any way he wants, when he wants, just like he doesn't even need us to show a tremendous amount of faith. Because, again, we don't get an indication that Hezekiah showed a lot of faith in his prayer. But yet God healed him. And then God said, give Hezekiah some medicine, poultice of figs. So again, there's nothing wrong with taking medicine. Why? Because God is the one who has given medicine to the medical community. Now again, we don't forget God and just run off to take medicine like King Uzziah, a wicked king from the southern kingdom of Judah, had done earlier. No, no, no. We don't want to do that. We don't want to forget God's sovereignty and rely on human pragmatism. But at the same time, you can trust in the Lord to provide healing, and it's okay to take medicine. And I say that because we had a recent situation with one of the gentlemen on our board of directors last year. His sister came down with cancer. And she was at a church where basically said, you can't take medicine. You have to trust, 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 pray, pray, pray. And if you show enough faith, God will heal you. She didn't take medicine. She didn't take advantage of the medical community. She kept praying, 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 trust, trust, trust. They put signs up all over the church. She's going to be healed. God told her she's going to be healed. She's going to be healed. They had a prayer couch, a healing couch, the whole thing. Guess what? The lady died. And her three boys want nothing to do with God now because they feel that God let them down because they were incorrectly taught that the size of their faith, which they exercise a ton of faith, has to move God and has to cause God to heal. Friends, no, no, no. It's not about the size of our faith that causes God to heal somebody. God, in his grace, does what he does. And it's not based upon the size of our faith. In fact, we saw in Hezekiah, we don't get an indication that he even prayed for healing. Yet God healed him. Why? God said, for his name's sake and for the sake of his covenant. And again, you want to interpret scripture with scripture. Again, the great reformers, they called it analogia scriptura, which basically means interpret scripture with scripture. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. And in doing that, you just go to New Testament Matthew. You see three examples here of healings by Jesus. One example we see that where we see Jesus healing somebody and the person's faith was mentioned in it. In Matthew 9, when Jesus healed a sick woman, verse 20, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned to her and said, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. In that moment, the woman was healed. So we see here a mention of somebody's faith that Jesus worked through a person's faith for healing, right? But you can't make doctrine on that. Why? Because we see another example of Jesus healing somebody, not based on that person's faith who was sick, but based on the faith of other people. Chapter 9, we see that verse 1, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on the mat. When Jesus saw their faith, the people who brought the paralyzed man, he said to the man, the paralyzed man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. So we see Jesus working through the faith of others to heal this man who we have no mention here, that he had a lot of faith. So we see an example of Jesus healing a woman And he mentions because of her faith. We see an example of Jesus healing a paralyzed man based upon, he mentions, the faith of others. And then we see an example of Jesus healing somebody, Peter's mother-in-law, and guess what? With no mention of faith. In chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law, which is a great verse to show that Peter, the first pope that the Catholic Church says, well, Peter was married. He saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. There's no mention of faith there. So what is the whole point here? Does the size of our faith cause God to want to heal? No. We see examples of the Lord working through people's faith to heal. We see examples of the Lord working through other people's faith to heal. We see an example of the Lord healing somebody with no mention of faith. And again, I think that's also an example in Hezekiah's story. So what's the bottom line? The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is all-powerful. The Lord is all-knowing. What he has divinely decreed will come to pass. Do we still want to pray for to be healed? Absolutely. We trust that the Lord can do it according to his will. Do we pray for others in their healing? I'm doing that all the time for people. But we pray trusting in God's divine decree and sovereign perfect decision and plan. Not based upon my faith. There are times I have mustard seed faith. My mother last year was in a coma, dealing with a devastating disease. I barely had mustard seed faith, and yet the Lord has done a miracle in her life. Not based upon the size of my faith, not based upon the size of my mother's faith, based upon the size of my God. So pray for people. Continue to pray for people. Trust in the sovereignty of the Lord, the power of the Lord, but submit to the Lord, trusting in his perfect plan. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.